This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, party people in the YouTube chat. Folks are active today. Talking Portland Trailblazers. We talked a lot about the Blazers in hour number one. Fun game last night.
I'll continue to say it. It was not only the game of the year for the Blazers and Knicks, it was the game of the year for the NBA. It was the best game of the year. It had everything. There's nothing that game didn't have.
Yeah. I'm not so sure many people outside of Portland or New York will agree with that, but
check social media last night, and that's basically what...
Social media's never been known for hyperbole.
I'm just saying, across the NBA
It was exciting, man.
It was a game played that close over... Yeah. 53 minutes? It's insane.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It's an insane level of basketball being played. Not always great.
Insane can be highs or lows.
I can never hear the phrase, it had everything ever again, without immediately thinking of Stefan from SNL. Bill Hader.
I don't get that. That one.
All right.
I know Stefan.
It was a recurring character.
I do know Stefan. Yeah.
It has everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. There's going to be a lot of people that you're going to get a lot of support on the text line, though, because Stefan was a great character. Mm-hmm. I don't know him that well. That's not in my bag. I'm not in that bag like that.
I was a big Stefan fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that joke didn't land with me.
Anywho,
it happens.
Moving on. I'll just
not sure how we pivot out of that.
Just turn off my mic now.
Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him.
I don't know. But it was a great Blazers game. We talked a lot about it. We'll have more on the hometown team. A lot of people active on that closing lineup and the discussion that we had. But we will talk a little college hoops. We had college hoops on the Fan today. Dirt and Sprague ended a half hour early today. And Oregon, with their 72-59 win over Indiana in the second round of the Big Ten tournament, the Ducks and Hoosiers' first game of the Big Ten tourney, they end up moving on for a quarterfinal matchup with Michigan State tomorrow morning. So Dirt and Sprague will also be off at 8:30 tomorrow as the Ducks and Spartans of Michigan State will meet up in the Big Ten tourney.
They take on mini Jason Richardson in Richardson, who is flying up draft boards. He's firmly a lottery pick right now.
Izzo has a squad, man, and he's done an incredible job with them. And that's going to be a really damn fun game for the Big Ten tournament because The Ducks are playing really good basketball right now. Dane Altman, he coaches really damn well in March. 76th win in March is what Joey Mack said for Dane Altman.
If the Ducks get that game, look out.
Look out for what?
For them winning the tournament.
Oh, they need to take an L somewhere.
No.
You can't go into the NCAA that tournament hot. On like a 12-game winning streak. Mm. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about it. Like because then you're going to have to win.
You got to be hungry.
Yeah, you got to go 64, 32, 16, 8, yep. 4, 2. You can win six more games. So you're going to end the season on an 18-game winning streak? Hoo, Nelly.
Look, man.
They're hot.
I'll keep coming back to it. Watching them play against Rutgers. Rutgers is not a good team. But what I watched Dana do defensively, schematically, and that's where coaching has the biggest impact in basketball to me is college, because you've got higher level guys who can do more things, where as opposed to the NBA, everybody can do things at a pretty crazy level and spacing's very different. The different zones that Dana deployed, when he did, when he trapped, how aggressive he was, that's when Dana gets in his bag. When he gets real, real, real scheme heavy with stuff and he comes into an individual game with a very tight game plan and then adjusts as what works and what doesn't.
Well, that was today they also turn into a tournament style team. Like they are really good as a tournament style team. Yep. And today kind of highlighted that against Indiana. In the final 5 minutes of the first half, Oregon closed out the first half on a 13-4 run. In the final 5 minutes of the second half, they closed out the game on a 13-5 run, which means they outscored in 10 minutes of that game. They outscored Indiana by 17 points. They won by 13. Okay? That just tells you Indiana was plus 4 the other 30 minutes of the basketball game. But tournament teams in basketball, we always talk about this, right? How do you close out halves? How do you close out the game? Final 5 minutes of each half, Oregon outscored Indiana 26-9. That's pretty good.
And a big part of that was Oregon's defense.
Yep.
Indiana shoots 36-25-50 from the field three and free throw line.
We'll see.
And some of that is some shooting variance. You know, Trey Galloway goes 6 of 18, which you probably don't expect, but that's also the Ducks' defense and how aggressive they are and how disruptive they can be.
The big news of the college basketball world today, though, is that Cooper Flagg went up for a rebound and he came down with what appears to be a sprained ankle. He left the game and did not return, actually left in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
John Shire saying after the game that x-rays were negative to Cooper Flagg. You got to think Cooper Flagg's run at Duke is done.
Yeah. And this is where it gets interesting. And I don't think the injury necessarily impact this, but does missing out on a tournament run, is that something he wants to come back for? And I'm serious.
And I
still think it's very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
Just doing kind of a straw poll last night. At every Blazers game, there's always a bunch of scouts and other media folks, and I'll bounce around and we'll talk about whatever is going on in the league or college basketball. And this guy, do you think there's a chance that he goes back? And it wasn't a hell no. There were more than a few guys that were like, it's unlikely, but I'd say that there's a door open for it, which is an insane thing to think about. And it got us, we got down the list and I go, who was the last bona fide, not even number one overall pick, but definite lottery pick, first team All-American, National Player of the Year type to come back? And nobody had an answer, and I was like, is it JJ?
Yeah, JJ Redick and Tyler Hansborough were the first two people that came to my mind.
But Hansborough even though he was National Player of the Year type, nobody looked at Hansborough as being like the lotto guy, where Redick was slotted anywhere between 9 and 12. Like, you're like, yeah, no, he's a for sure lotto guy. His junior year, he was a first team All American. I think he finished I think he averaged 20, he was either 19 or 20 that year, which in college basketball is a massive number. And he was the face of college basketball. Comes back for his senior year. And I just kind of going through it, I'm like, who was the last guy? I think he's it. I think he's the last guy to come back. And I think that was 05. because everybody else is, you know, they're one and done types. Like, who was the last like legit one and done who came back? And I, thought was a one and done going into the season that came back.
If I am a one and done, I'm not going to Duke because Cooper Flagg, Zion Williamson, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, AD,
all three of those guys got hurt.
AD's the only guy, and he's the most injury-riddled guy at Kentucky who was the, like the one and done that did all this.
No, I'm talking about
go to Duke.
Yeah, don't go
hurt.
To Duke.
Yeah,
their best three that they've gotten have all gotten hurt.
Yeah.
What kind of curse do they got going on there?
You know, that's a good point. The fan text line. Maybe the dude's on the back-to-back Florida squad.
Joakim Noah.
Noah Parsons Horford.
Yeah.
I can't remember where Al was in that, oh God, so that'd be 2005 NBA mock draft. That's probably,
I don't
where he would be in that. Cause there's 05, 06 and 06, 07.
If they have 2005 NBA mock draft, it's still the internet is too big.
It's still up.
I'm for less internet if 2005 NBA mock drafts are still on the internet.
Yeah. Man. He probably would have been in that range right in there.
Yeah.
Because that's Channing, I think, what Channing went for. Yeah, Channing was the last lottery pick that year. He was 14th.
Okay, Channing Frye?
Yeah, Channing Frye. Yeah.
All right.
So, but it just shows you how much of a real long shot that is and the viability for it. It hasn't happened in 20 years.
No, but NIL is a game changer, and there will be more guys that choose to go down that road. Now, Cooper Flagg, I think it really does matter who gets the number one pick because Charlotte, Washington, those have already been signaled and floated as if either one of those two teams gets the number one pick, he is probably not going to want to go to either one of those franchises because they're dumpster fires. So that's something to obviously keep an eye on and see where the lottery sorts out. But you don't reclassify and miss your senior year of high school to go to Duke to come back for another year. You don't.
I agree with everything you're saying, but there's also a part of me that goes that, again, we were talking to the folks in the room, they all believe that Cooper Flagg can get $20 million or more next year at Duke. And as much as you want to get that NBA clock started, if let's say the Charlotte Hornets win the lottery, and I think that's the team that his camp does not want him to go to the most. And yeah, you risk the injury, you risk all the other stuff of coming back. But if you're that protective of your career, could I see it happening? Yes.
I also think the injury is probably more of a reason why you don't come back.
Because you want to lock that money in.
You sit there and you go, oh, damn, I was really close. Mm-hmm. You know, what if that's a knee? What if he ruptures his Achilles?
What if it's Kevin Ware?
Yeah.
And, you get caught. Because when he came, I watched it happen live, the way he went down in a heap, my first thought was, oh, God, he dislocated his ankle.
How far does Duke fall in this now? Because Duke was a one seed. And
you can't have him as a one seed.
Without Cooper Flagg is, I mean, unless the man is Gumby, which maybe, unless he's Gumby, there's no way that he is playing in the rest of this season. You are looking at best case scenario, Final Four is when he's back. And that would be, hey, Duke, by the way, you got to make it to the Final Four without your best player. And, oh, by the way, your sixth man, your first guy off the bench, he just dislocated his shoulder as well.
Yeah.
Malik Brown.
Malik Brown had to be taken out to the hospital on a stretcher because he was in so much pain he couldn't sit up. Yep. And he's not as important to them, obviously, offensively, but he's their point of attack stopper. Konka Knipl, who came in, Duke trailed in this game to Georgia Tech because of injuries.
Yeah.
And Knipl ended up going for 28. And he's going to be a lottery guy as well. So they still have two lottery guys, him and Common Malawach. It's insane how loaded they are. But I don't think you can rightfully, this is Florida State without Jordan Travis. That's what this is. You cannot have him as a one seed.
But how far do they drop? Because are they a two seed? They have two lottery guys, which that would probably indicate you're safe at a two. But do you push them down to like
as
the top three?
As the number one, three seed?
Yeah.
I could see it. They probably end as a two. I don't think you can have them as a one seed, though.
That conversation is about to get that much more tough. And by, that will be a, like, if they don't win the AC, if they win the ACC tournament, you're having a three-loss team not be a one seed.
I think if they win the tournament without Coop,
yeah,
they probably end up with a one seed, and they will have deserved it.
And everybody's saying, I want that bracket.
Oh, God,
I want that bracket. Yeah. I want to be on that side.
I think at that point in time, you put them at in the bloodbath bracket.
Oh, the bracket of death.
I think that's what ends up happening.
Bracket of death.
All the other teams are like, the top teams are screaming, they want that. I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to put you all in the same bracket and you deal with that.
I always love the bracket of death. A good bracket of death it's good for the soul. And you don't know why they're doing it, because everybody, right when the bracket comes out, everybody's like, that one doesn't seem right.
No.
And it always seems to be like the Midwest.
Yes.
It's like the Midwest bracket, you're like, huh.
Why does that look like a bloodbath in the round of 32? Like, what the hell is this?
Oh, man. All right. Well, Cooper Flag, dead.
Unfortunately. I'm bluntly,
ACC tournament is dead.
I'm pissed.
He's alive.
I wanted to see this guy do
I did too.
What he's capable of doing on the biggest of stages in college basketball. To have the opportunity, because he's going to win National Player of the Year. He won ACC Player of the Year, ACC Freshman of the Year, ACC All-Defensive Team.
Ooh, I saw that Broom won a Player of the Year award today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which one.
SEC.
It was No. It was a National Player of the Year thing that he got.
Oh, it wasn't the Naismith, though.
No. It wasn't the big one.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big one. But I saw that he won. I was like, well, that seems premature.
Yeah, I mean, he's the second best player in college basketball, or second most important, at least.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see Cooper Flag have the opportunity to do what Anthony Davis did, be the National Player of the Year and lead his team to a national title, because he had a legitimate chance at doing that, and that has been taken from him, and that sucks.
That does suck. You know what it sucks for? CBS. Mm. CBS was like, True TV was going, no! Because that is a cash cow. College basketball has been waiting for this.
That
and
guy.
It happened with Zion. Mm-hmm. It's happening with Cooper Flag now. And Rutgers ain't making it.
No, God, no.
So you're looking at who is the top pick that is going to be playing in the NCAA tournament now? Because two of the guys who were presumed to be top four picks both play for Rutgers. They're not making it. Cooper Flag isn't going to be in the tournament unless they make a run or he's Gumby. That's a huge hit.
Yeah. And another thing that sucks is that now Cooper Flag doesn't get to come into the NBA draft with all the heat. Like, he's going to be the number one pick no matter what, but the pomp and circumstance.
Oh, people would have started to hate Cooper Flag.
Yeah. And that's...
He's a white guy that plays at Duke.
Yeah.
He's given anybody no reason to hate him.
And
they would hate him.
And he would have had a moment. I'm not talking about a game winner. He would have dunked on somebody's head and would have panned a mom again. And that, and you know, the national crowd seeing mom saying, put it on his head, you know, all over again. It is just, we're being robbed of all of those moments. Because Coop has one or two, basically, oh my God, moments every game.
Yeah,
and now he doesn't get to do it on the biggest stage, and we all get robbed. And I hope he heals up quick, and I hope he is Gumby.
Me too, because that's a bummer. We do have somebody that maybe we can all pull for. Did we just become a fan of a BYU player?
Mm.
I think we might have to all become Richie Saunders fans. I'll explain next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we might have to all pull for BYU. BYU? Are we? Sounds...
They're a fun little team, man. They're a fun little team. They're hooping.
They are. Well, I don't know if it's anything about, like, actually the team itself. But today we found out during their game in the Big 12 tournament, a little... In it, by the way, 96-92 win over Iowa State. That was a really fun finish. They got a sharpshooter on their team. His name is Richie Saunders.
And he looks exactly like you think he looks.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a Richie Saunders. Yeah. He's got like floppy white hair. He's or floppy blonde hair, white dude, wears a headband. He dropped 23 on Iowa State. But it was what the announcers dropped on all of us that has me thinking we might have to be BYU fans or Richie Saunders fans. The announcers in the game said that his great-grandfather invented tater tots. Richie Saunders' great-grandfather, inventor of the tater tot.
Is he from Idaho?
No.
He's a Utah native.
Tater tots were invented in the great state of Oregon.
That is correct.
Were they?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Or Ida. In Ontario, Oregon, at the Orida Potato Factory, they were trying to figure out what they did with all the leftovers of their potato scraps, and they said, boom, let's munch these up into a little ball, deep fry them, tater tots.
I love the number of snacks that come as a snacks or foods that come as a part of runoff of other foods.
Yeah.
They're like, the list of things... Nerds candy, they're trimmings of an. I can't remember what other candy they are. They were the leftovers. There was another one that was like that as well. God dang it! I had this discussion with my wife. I'm going to say like 7 or 8 months ago. She was watching some candy documentary.
The Candy That Made America.
That's what it was.
I love those.
Those are so
those
good.
Marathons on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. So History Channel has some bangers.
She was into that, and it was all about the runoff. Mm-hmm. Of snacks and foods that were turned into other foods. And it was like, yeah, no, that sounds about right.
Because what, Nerds, that's a Willy Wonka joint, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of them came from that company.
The runoffs of the Snozzberries.
Yes.
So we can deduce that Richie Saunders' great-grandfather is either Nephi Grigg or Golden Grigg. I'm going to go It, I mean, they're related to each other, Nephi and Golden. So, sound very religious.
What?
Yeah, he goes to BYU. Crazy. But the great-grandfather invented the tater tot, and I think the tater tot is elite. A tater tot casserole.
Oh, that's a banger. Yeah.
Tater tot casserole is amazing. Cajun tots. If they got Cajun tots on the menu at a bar, I'm probably going to get them because they're awesome. Tater tots are sweet. And Richie Saunders' great-grandfather gave us the gift of tater tots and is now giving us the gift of dropping threes. So if they don't have a tater tot giveaway at BYU, something's wrong with them.
By the way, Guy Fieri has a fantastic like tater tot fish recipe. Crusted tater tot crusted fish. I believe he uses halibut. But yeah.
Ooh.
You let the tater tots thaw out, right? To where you can just kind of mash them all up and you mix it into a little soy sauce and hoisin and you crust, you rub that on one side of the fish and you grill it that way.
Oh, damn.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That does sound pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Multi-use tater tot.
Good stuff.
So you're taking the scraps of the scraps and you're making something delicious.
Look, man, it matters. I think, if I remember right, one of the other ones was pork rinds. Pork rinds was like, we have all this pork skin.
Really?
Like, what do we do with this?
Ew.
What happens if we deep fry it?
So the hot dog factory was like, we need something to do with the scraps of the scraps of the scraps. Like, pork rinds.
We're already using all the lips and a-holes.
Yeah. Nailed it. All right.
Oh, baby.
Okay. Well, we got, that was a revelation to me, and I'm in on Richie Saunders now. He probably would have been a guy that, had I not known this fun fact about Richie Saunders, I would have watched him and said, nope, don't like him, you know?
Yeah, because I could very easily see that.
He could be playing for Duke and we'd all hate him. You know, he just has the white guy sharpshooter look about him. He's got a little bit of brashness to him in his game. He's fun to watch. But now that he's an heir to the tater tot throne, I'm here. I'm here for all of it.
I wonder where he is at in the will, the lineage.
Mm.
Is he the heir to the tater tot throne?
I don't know, man.
That's
probably some good money.
Amazing
tater
it is
tot
that
money's good money.
Oregon is the home of both the tater tot and the corn dog,
and it's on opposite ends of the state.
Yeah,
like as far east Oregon as you can get is where the tater tot. As far west as you can get was the corn dog.
The corn dog not being from Iowa feels like a travesty.
Well. We do deep fried foods really well here, you know?
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Idaho sucks.
He said Iowa.
I said Iowa. You just,
I thought you said Idaho.
Did you just really take a shot?
I thought you said Idaho.
Look, you just wound up and went
the
take
sentiment
a shot.
Remains.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
It's just an evergreen statement from Rusty. Hate Idaho!
Reason why I call it out of hell.
Good God.
Dang, man.
All right. Well, I guess
that's gnarly, dude.
I guess what the ironically named Treasure Valley.
What if it's not Nephi Grigg or Golden Grigg and Richie Saunders' great grandfather is like, I invented the tater tot before them? Like, he's Nikola Tesla of tater tot world.
Franklin, yeah.
Where it's like, he was stealing. Thomas Edison stole all my inventions. It's like, well, sorry.
Oops. Sorry. Good. Well, coming next
more.
On our worst day on the web, Southwest Airlines, they decided when you go low, we will go lower, higher? I don't know. We'll get to that on worst day on the web. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? Sucks.
Southwest Airlines has been in the news recently, and not for necessarily the news that some other airlines have been in, I don't know, for crashing, which is always, I guess, a good thing to avoid that.
Yeah.
But all of the things that made Southwest Airlines, the open boarding, the early check-in, free checked bags,
bags fly free.
It's all gone.
All
gone. Gone. In the last year, that is now gone. The airline announced after a quasi-hostile takeover from an investment group called Elliott Investment Fund. They're basically running things now, and they're running this thing as a sock. It doesn't matter. It's all about profit and loss. For the first time in the company's 53-year history, they had corporate layoffs. They laid off 15% of their workforce.
Really? The first time in the company's history?
Yes.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like 53 years, zero corporate layoffs. That's That's insane. Insane.
Well, and the reason why is because the people that were running the company, it's a privately traded or publicly traded company. They were making money. And they were making enough money to where people were happy. But there were this investment group bought into the company, and there was a proxy fight that they were able to kind of stave off. But members of that investment group got more positions on the board and got more stock, and now they can dictate terms. Mm. And they are getting rid of everything that made Southwest Airlines. But good, bad, or otherwise, the open boarding thing was... Some people loved it. Some people hated it.
Well, it became a mess when everybody would get a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And, like, you would see those photos of, like, 25 people just, like, in wheelchairs lined up. And you're like,
all right, dude. Come on.
I mean, I don't think everybody... I think we're fudging the system here.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not just what they did. It's how they did it. Southwest Airlines social media.
Dude, I once saw a guy legitimately walk through the security checkpoint. He was like in line holding onto his crutches, and he like walked through. I was like, "What? I know what airline you're headed. You're going to I know where you're headed, buddy.
Look, man, I got boots and braces and all kinds of things, and I've never gone down that path. That's nasty work. You don't want to do that." Southwest Airlines on social media, from their Instagram post. It's not like we traded Luca. Sweet, good golly moly.
That is really good.
Look, I chuckled, but then I was like, that's also really scummy.
Yeah, well, you know where they're headquartered, founded? Dallas, Texas.
Oof, look at me run.
It hits home for them.
It was funny. I'm not going to lie. I chuckled at it. Like, that was great. My God, but also like... What are you doing here? I want to. This is such corporate overlord speak, and I hate it so much. This is the statement from the CEO, Bob Jordan. We have tremendous opportunity to meet current and future customer needs, attract new customer segments we don't compete for today, and return to levels of profitability that both we and our shareholders expect.
Mm.
New segments of customers, the people that like. Like, I mean, I've got an Alaska card. You have one too, don't you? Yeah. Like, I think most people in the Northwest, if you travel at all, you have an Alaska Airlines card. But it's like, you're not attracting those people competing in the same market space. Like,
no.
That's built in, dog. That ain't changing.
Like, the thing about Southwest was, if you wanted an airline that was affordable and reliable, that's the one that you went with.
And you didn't have to pay for each individual propeller on the plane like Spirit.
Yeah. Well, that's where the reliable comes in.
Yeah.
Because
it was a good, like, above bottom level. Look, I've been like, hey, like Summer League. I've been like, you know what? I am going to go.
Yeah.
And I'll fly Southwest because it's quick. It's easy. They had back in the day when they had the one-way.
Well, I used to have, like, you on my computer when I was in college, I'd have the ding set up, the want to get away fares.
Yeah.
And I'd hear like a ding, and I had Spokane and
Burbank?
No, Tennessee and Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd like get a ding and be like, oh.
$79. Dude, I used to fly into Ontario, California for $79. And I'd buy 2 one-way tickets.
Yeah. And I would.
It was great.
You would get on a Southwest plane and you just call a buddy and be like, I'm coming.
I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm coming. And then it was the way to get there and get there fast and cheap. And I love those fares.
And
that's dead now.
They did away with those.
That's dead, dude.
They've now done away with the check bags. Now, they said that the you can still get the checked bags, the free checked bags, if you're in the upper tier of Rapid Rewards, which requires roughly 40 flights a year, for those that don't know.
Again, flying for work, they are not flying on Southwest. They don't understand what they are. And that's one of the hardest parts about when a business gets to a level and then they stop, they forget who they were. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly what Southwest is doing right now. Because if you want to go and you fly regularly, you're not going to do that.
You're flying Delta.
Yeah. You're going to go Delta. You're going to go Alaska. Mm-hmm. You'll maybe fly United.
Yeah.
Like, you're not You're not.
Southwest doesn't even cross your mind.
No. I can't remember the last time I was on a Southwest flight, to be honest.
Mine was Vegas. I was like, oh, I am going to go.
I think.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then they had a package deal with the hotel that I stayed at. So I was like, oh, perfect.
I went to Phoenix. I think Phoenix was my last one. Yeah. But I went down to Phoenix, and I think that was the last time I flew Southwest, and that was probably 15 years ago. 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I don't fly it often, but I did for that trip because, again, it makes sense because
that's a bummer, dude.
I can bring two bags for free.
Yeah, bags fly free. Let's go.
If I'm going to go spend a week in Vegas, yeah, I bring my...
You didn't just wear all of your shorts?
No, I brought a lot of shorts. But, you know, like we go out to nice dinners and stuff like that. Yeah. You go for meetings with folks and, you know.
All right. Well, RIP, bags flying free.
Bags flying free.
Pour one out.
No more of the open check-in. No more of the cattle call. No more want-to-get-aways.
God, yeah.
I made the mistake on that last trip to Vegas. I totally spaced the open check-in because at 24 hours is when check-in used to open up. And if 24 hours, you can pick your seat. Mm-hmm. There was a comedian, I saw this on social media, I'm going to say probably about a year ago. During his set, his alarm goes off on his phone. And it's not uncommon to have for a comedian to have their phone on the stand because they're usually watching a timer for how long they're going to be up there for. He's like, sorry, guys, I'm not going to risk being in the back of the Southwest flight, so I'm going to check in right now while I'm doing my set. Mm-hmm. And there we go. All right, back to the show. And I was
and we're in.
That's a man of the people right there who knows. But those are the people that would fly Southwest. Is you're just kind of hopping around, doing something on cheap.
Balling on a budget, baby. That's how it was.
Spirit's got to be licking their chops right now, like you have nowhere else to go.
Yeah, we will have that $15.99 for your bag.
It's just so gross. So gross. I'm going to keep it in college basketball here for a minute because there's some news around college basketball. We've been talking about changes in college football, but in college basketball, the change to the NCAA tournament could be around the corner a lot quicker than you think. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, the world of college sports is certainly in a moment of upheaval. It's not just college football. College basketball... the landscape is a-changing. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark sat down yesterday for basically a State of the Union ahead of the Big 12 tournament leading into the NCAA tournament. And there was a lot of talk specifically about the expansion of March Madness and everything that goes into that. Currently it is still technically a 64-team tournament. The 68 is a play-in round. So it's the tournament itself is still 64.
Which I think sucks for those AQ 16 seeds that have to play in Dayton, but they're not actually officially in the tournament.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, there's something about if you win your conference, yeah, go get your ass handed to you by a one seed.
Get the automatic. You know? Make the bubble the last four in be the last four in.
Yeah.
Make them fight it out. They didn't win their conference championship.
You're dang right.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, go get pasted by a good team.
Yeah, that's what you earned. Well, I shouldn't say they're going to, because there's always the chance that they don't. But, again, talking to folks last night at the Blazers game, this was something of discussion because it impacts just another game to get eyes on people. The Big 12 tournament, the SEC tournament in particular, featured Texas yesterday, and both Danny Ainge and Mike Dunleavy were at that game because if Texas doesn't win, that's Trey Johnson's last game in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you hadn't gotten eyes on him recently, you got to go see him. But if you expand the play-in group a little bit more, there's another opportunity for those bubble guys, which you do see the Texases of the world like this year find their way right around in there, and it maybe gives you one more game, one more opportunity for not only a marquee university and what has been a marquee program, but a program that attracts NBA talent to have another game, another showcase, another opportunity to prolong that season and get more data. That's something that certainly factors in from the NBA side of things. On the basketball side of things, they're saying they have financial things they have to consider here. I'm like, wait. You're talking about expanding the team. For those that don't know, the expansion is set to go from 68 to 76. So there would be a larger play-in pool with the bracket remaining at 64 teams. It would just be a larger play-in group. The 64-team tournament came together in 1985. It has not expanded beyond that since that period, and I don't expect it to advance beyond that because 64 is so many bleeping teams.
Well, because you'd have to double the field to actually have another round.
Yes.
Everything is considered a play-in because you bracket it out from there because no buys, right? Which I think if you go to 76 and not call it the first round, I think you have enough teams to be like, okay, we all agree. We're out of the play-in now. It's the tournament. But didn't they call it the first round? They used to call it the first round.
Mm-hmm. I think they did, yeah. First, they used early to on.
But it's like, that was no countsies? That's stupid.
It is.
Nobody counted the first round anyways.
The man responsible for that move to the 85 team tournament, Dave Gavitt, his son is actually the one who's actually in charge of all of this now. And this is what he had to say about it. Expansion, even on a modest level, is complex. More complex than I think has been recognized and reported because it is expensive. And they're talking about the sites and hosting those games. The easy fix there is have the higher seeded team just play at home. Like that's that way you aren't getting like a site because it's a one off game. It's a much simpler process than it is.
Yeah.
When you're talking about like college football and 80,000 people.
Well, when you have more games, you're going to move it out of Dayton. And Dayton is, they played in Dayton, by the way, because it's centralized. Yes. And it is the closest university that can handle that and can handle people traveling in. But we are like, that doesn't seem like the true middle of the country. When you take a map of the NCAA and where the schools are,
it's right in the middle.
It is very close to the middle. There's actually way more schools on the East Coast than the West Coast. Yes. So that's why they play it there. Easy to get to
traveling.
It's
fine. And they'll find another spot in there
In
that same region, I would imagine, or Ohio-ish area.
Yeah. I mean, hell, just put it in Kansas City and they have an arena that's always empty. Go play it because they were trying to get an NHL and an NBA team. Haven't been able to do it. It's a good arena. So go and throw it there. Big 12 doesn't play there anymore. So that's in the middle of the country. Throw it there.
From what I have heard from people in college basketball who are very well informed on this stuff, they have told me that this is a foregone conclusion and that it's going to go to 76. Yeah. And the public perception that both the Big 12 and NCAA is pushing is like, I don't think a vote's going to be held anytime soon. And I had somebody tell me it's going to happen in 2 weeks and it's going to be done. And we're going to hear about it probably the second the tournament ends publicly.
Well, yeah, that's how they always go about this business. Did you see what, I think it was Kevin Smith. I think that's who it was. Mm. At the AC or Kyle Smith, Stanford's coach. Mm. He said that he has a proposal for the NCAA tournament. He proposes two divisions, a top tier and a second tier, based on a rolling 5-year average. So
like an NIT tournament.
He said a top tier team would play each other twice a year, helping their net ranking. Second tier teams would play each other twice a year, helping them build up. He said, I've talked to Jim about it. About relegation. So this might be the moment, trying to go two divisions. So if you have a top team play top team, they'll probably be mad if I mention that. But I do think that you would give more opportunities if you played everyone twice in the top division, a champions and a Premier League. I've been working on this based on you would have to have two divisions. And at the end of the year, you'd relegate someone at the top division and you would play to try to get into the quad ones. And it would be pretty neat. He's saying that if this thing is expanding out, right? Having two divisions, because we talked about this yesterday, how skewed the net ratings are.
Yes.
Because teams will fudge them, conferences will fudge them and protect the middle and back end by playing soft non-conference schedules. And your big dogs, they're going to be good no matter what. They play a really tough non-conference schedule. So what Kyle Smith is saying is like, what are we doing here? And I've been on this promotion and relegation in college sports would be awesome.
Well, not
it
only
would give teams a chance to go punch up and play up with the big boys and have staying power, but also it would sort out who's committed and who's not.
The VCUs of the world that make their runs and they commit to a guy like Shaka Smart and really push their program forward, and then the blue bloods that die off.
Yeah.
It makes you really have to fight through it. And I've been saying 334 teams. It changes so frequently in Division I basketball, which teams of Division I versus others. The updated version is actually 364.
Oh!
That's too many freaking teams.
Yeah.
And splitting that up
mm-hmm.
is the right way to do it. We talked about the non-conference schedule for Vanderbilt yesterday. And they played Drake. It was their one good and very good non-conference. But they had the Citadel. Look, Army, Navy, Air Force, Citadel, they can punch in football.
Mm-hmm.
They can. They cannot in basketball. That is not the height requirements pretty much preclude them from mm-hmm. being competitive in that world. It is what it is.
Well, Matt Brown, who he has, I mean, he was a reporter. I think he used to be with SB Nation. Now he does his own extra point stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had this, hearing from multiple people in the industry, several D1 schools having serious internal talks about reclassifying out of D1 before July and when the house settlement becomes finalized. I'd be a little surprised if nobody ends up doing it this year. Budget cuts may force hands of schools because they're looking at it in that regard.
Yeah.
And like what Kyle Smith is saying is like the ACC tear that bad boy out mm-hmm. and say, and we looked at the SEC's non-conference schedule. That is 100% what the SEC did with their basketball schedule, yeah. non-conference schedule. As they said, we have the haves, we have the have-nots. We're haves, you guys go play someone tough. Have nots, don't. And what Kyle Smith is saying is like, no, let's just make it formal.
Yeah.
Let's do this because
we all know what's already going on.
And teams are gonna have to either jump up or bump down, and the landscape's gonna shift dramatically. And that's why it was smart for like schools like North Dakota State not to jump to overtures from the Mountain West or the Pac-12, you know, and say, we know who we are.
Yes.
And we're comfortable with where we're at.
Knowing who you are is seemingly the nom de grace of sports right now. Whether it's at a program level, whether it's as a coach or a coordinator, whether it's who you are as a player, knowing who you are seems to be one of the most important things that you can truly understand in sports right now.
Yeah.
Not trying to chase clout because you want to hang with the big boys or say you were there. Sometimes it's better to be the biggest fish in the small pond.
Yeah.
It's okay. You don't have just being in the big pond and being preyed upon all the time isn't fun.
Yeah. No, it's not.
And what purpose does it actually serve?
Like,
you could cut this. Think about this. You could cut this field in half, tier one, tier two.
Yeah.
And you would have 182 teams.
Portland State has not gotten close, but they have a chance to win a national title in football. They do not in basketball. They don't.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's the reality of it. Because they play in a division that is comparable in football. They don't in basketball.
No.
Like, in that... That's the thing is like getting to the NCAA tournament. You remember when Ken Bone took the mm-hmm. Vikings to the NCAA tournament with, what was it, Jeremiah Dominguez?
Yes.
Was their point guard. Like that was
insane.
It was so, but it was fun because sure. It was like they made it. You know, University of Portland, they made it. I remember we wheeled in the damn TV to class to watch University of Portland get thumped.
Mm-hmm.
But we were excited because UP made it in 96, right? Like that just the, getting there?
Yeah.
Just getting there and just getting your teeth kicked in, have a chance to win a title is a good thing. It's a really good thing.
Or here, let's say you're one of you're the UPs, the PSUs of the world, and you are in that tier two. You're in that bottom 182, and you rise to the top of that. We have seen programs that are not traditional programs become traditional programs, even in the modern era.
Gonzaga.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Mary's, the WCC is kind of hallmark or earmarked
what
for that.
Don't they have? What don't they have? Football.
Oh, right.
Football. They don't have football. They committed to basketball.
The Big East.
Yeah.
It's all basketball.
Yep.
Knowing who you are, man, it's okay. And you find your way, the Boise States of the world in football. Like, mm-hmm. If you find your path, you find your way, you can. There is a path for you to do it, but you have to just have a realization of what you are.
No doubt about it.
All right, coming up here in hour number three, we will get back to the Portland Trailblazers and the game of the year. Danny and Dusty, Tim the Fan.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.